All right, good morning. If you're just here with us for the first time in a while, we started a new series just last week, and we're going to be going through the Bible, hitting some of the main themes that are there, and kind of starting to go back to why do we do what we do? What was the necessity of why we do these things? So part of it is, as we journey through the Bible, we're looking at God's relentless pursuit of his creation. Last week we talked about he created angels, he created human beings, and why that was important. And we're going to be looking at it a little bit more. We're going to be focusing more on human beings this morning. But I wanted to just to get you thinking. Have you ever thought about living in a place where there was no sin? Like, it just wasn't there. And I don't know, I have. I've thought about it, and it's like, that'd be neat. But even as you think about it, unfortunately, you realize, well, that's not going to happen. I mean, within my own thoughts, it always turns kind of to me. It becomes something that's selfish. It becomes something that is, you know, really it's not glorifying God. And there's that sin. It just kind of keeps popping up and popping up. Well, at this point, as we talk about this, sin has not happened yet. So we're kind of leading up to that. But at this point, well, and we'll see Adam and Eve have a relationship with God and are walking with him in a way that we don't really understand. We truly can't even comprehend because of sin that's in us. So this morning, as we look at these different things this morning, we're going to be looking at discovering this is the way that it was to be, and it was to be without sin. God created the world, the universe, everything in it, and sin was not in it. We're also going to learn that walking with God is not a new thing. It's not a new idea, but it's something that has been along ever since the beginning. And then also, as we worship and grow, hopefully you get a chance to do this, but as we sang, just that, the hallelujah to God. How amazing is he? How awesome is he? And hopefully that's how you can view him throughout the week, that you can take from what you've heard, sing, what we've talked about today, that you can take that and that stays with you throughout the week and just encourages you. So as we start to dig into God's word real quick, I'd like to pray and get us ready for what we're going to be talking about. So if you would, let's bow in prayer together. Father, I just thank you for your love for us, that this is, that you have this relentless pursuit that is, you are faithful. You are, and you will do this until Jesus returns. And so it is amazing that you would take a person like me, people like us, and adopt them into your family, make them part of what you are doing. Lord, we give you 1,000 hallelujahs and more. And one day we will do that throughout eternity. But until then, we pray that we would get to know you better, that we would know you more, that we would grow in that relationship with you. So Lord, just thank you. Thank you and praise you. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you would, turn into Genesis 1:31, and you can see that right at the end of what God has created was very good. It said, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning on the sixth day. And just as we go into this part, I would say this is probably one of the most important parts of this, because it's the foundation of where we go. Because without this, and the fact that there is no sin, we would not realize that this was really not part of God's plan. He gives us free will. He gives us the choice to, he gives us the opportunity to make choices. And unfortunately, what we do as human beings, and even as the angels, we'll see that next week, that we would choose to go out on our own instead of staying with him. So I want you to think about this. This is, and again, just trying to put this together to comprehend this, because we're talking about more about as God comes out, and he is the author, and that's what we were looking at last time. In Genesis 1:1, it talks about he was the one who was entirely at work in this. From nothing, he created everything. He spoke, and it was. And I was just kind of thinking about it. If that is true, which it is, then we have an obligation as his creator, as he is the creator, we are his creation. Last week, I brought up the idea that we are his subjects. He created a kingdom, and in that kingdom, he's going to have subjects. And I thought I'd go try this, see if this makes sense to you. But if you were to, if in our day, you have people who make slogans, we have trademarks, we have patents, if you've ever created anything, you've ever made anything, who is the owner of that thing? Whoever made it, whoever developed it, whoever produced it, whatever it is, that inventor is the one who did it. Now, this is for fun. Some of you will know these, some of you, I was gonna have it where it's two slides and see who could get the most right kind of thing. But I mean, if you said have it your way, you would probably recognize that slogan. Same thing with just do it, right? You would recognize that. Red Bull gives you wings. I mean, that's, you know, that it's like every other commercial. But again, you go down through that and you kind of go, we recognize those things, and the person or people, the company that made them, guess what? They're the ones who own it. And then, so if you were to take that same concept, and again, it's an illustration, but that same concept and go, you know what? God created everything. He made it. Therefore, he is the creator of it. Therefore, he has the right to us. Have you ever thought of it that way? That he owns you. And that's kind of, that. I would say that's one of those things, because I would even say, I asked you at the beginning, what would it be like to have not have sin in your life? Think about it. Even just saying that you are a subject, you are owned by someone, that probably rubs you the wrong way, even just a little bit, maybe a lot of it. But it may bother you a little bit because we don't like to think of ourselves like that. But this is how God has introduced himself in the Bible, just Genesis 1:1. God, he created. Not something else, not someone else, but he is the one. So as we look at this, as we look at more from him, you know, he wants us to know that what we are about to see is entirely his work. That we can't, that's why this is foundational. If that is, if we don't agree with that, everything else is going to be thrown off. Just like the slogan is owned by its creator, I mean, I'd submit to you that as God is the creator, he has the rights as the owner. And God introduces himself as the creator and therefore our owner. So you and I are not our own. And since that is true, that forces us to think of things biblically. Do we see ourselves like this? And I want you to think about this, and we're coming up on Sanctity of Human Life, because that's coming up in a couple of weeks, but just kind of think of that. If our lives are just an accident of history, and therefore completely at liberty to do whatever you please with your life, to indulge it, to trash it, to take it. And if that is the case, your life is ultimately meaningless. Or, and this is the hard part, or you are a created being. And if that is the case, your creator has the absolute rights of ownership over your life, yours and mine. Your life is a trust given to you from God. You're not worthless or aimless. God chose to bring you into being. He did it on purpose. And you will discover the purpose as you get to know the one who created you. And so much of this is just going back to, what do we know about God? Do we know him? What is our walk with him? Our son-in-law yesterday, Kate and I, if you don't know, we had our first grandchild. So Asher came on Friday evening. He finally got here. We've been thinking it could have happened all the way since Christmas. But finally he showed up. And we got to see him, we got to hold him yesterday. And our son-in-law even said, he's like, how could what I just experienced from, you know, the guy's side, how could that be an accident? How could that be a mistake or just something that randomly could happen? And he's absolutely right, it can. See, because God intended it to be his creation looking to him and praising him and glorifying him. Unfortunately, as we look at some of the most horrible evils of our time have been built on the assumption that human life is an accident. The future direction of our society will in large part be determined by whether we choose to believe that we are accidents of history or a special creation of an almighty God. When we open our Bible, we are confronted by God, the author, the creator, the absolute rights of ownership over all things. He owns it all. But this has been the struggle for humanity for all time. So number one, we're going to be looking at a couple of these things. Number one, we're going to be looking at the idea that we were made in his image. So we're going to take a look at that briefly, and that we are absolutely dependent on him. Absolutely dependent on him. So if you want to take a look at Genesis 1:26, we'll go there. I know this is a little difficult to see, but I will read some of this. But Genesis 1, verse 26 and 27, and again, think of it like this. This is kind of cool. It's the climax of his creation. God has made everything. He's spoken and it is. And then they decide, because it's a plural, and that's the let us, so there's more than one. And he says, let us make mankind in our image. He did not say that about anything else, but he said it about humankind. And if you think about it, that puts us at the very top of his creation. Everything in the universe is put together for us. It's pretty amazing. It's a crowning moment. But Genesis 1:26 says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image according to our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every crawling thing that crawls on the earth. So God created man in his own image. So there's human beings, so there's men and women, but he created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. So he has given us a responsibility. He's given us a task to do. And we're going to look at that. But I want you to think about it from the point of God distinguishes between people and animals. We are not animals. We were never apes. We were never anything but human beings. We didn't evolve from something. We didn't come from something, become something from something else. And I think it's interesting that the animals were made by God, but none of them was made like God, or made in the image of God, or to be a reflection of God. See, that is why no man or woman should ever be treated as an animal or behave as an animal. You're not. The difference between a man and the animal kingdom is of an enormous significance. We have dogs, we really like our dogs, but they're still dogs. We do many things for them, but at the end of the day, they're still dogs. We take care of them as we're supposed to. But that's, and we do show them love and we care for them. But at the end of the day, they're still dogs. They're not human beings. One of the things I'd also like you to look at is Genesis 2:7. Says the existence comes from the Creator. Genesis 2:7 says, then the Lord God formed the man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. So one of the things that is so different from all the rest of creation is God formed from the dirt a frail form. A skeletal form. And then from there, this lifeless thing on the ground, and God breathed into him. That breath brought him into existence. And that is how we've been ever since. We have the system that God has set up, procreation, is how we continue to come into this world. But from this lifeless frame became the first man, became Adam. And that's one of those things, again, that is important for us to capture because, again, this is what God says in his word, and this is what he wants us to understand, that he is the one who is in charge of it all. One of the things that's interesting, we're looking mostly at the Old Testament, but I want to share with you just something that is very similar in the New Testament. This is what was written by Luke in the book of Acts. Acts 17, if you want to go over there, Acts 17, 24 down to 28. We can take a look at that. He says this, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth and he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each of us. For in him we live and we move and we have our being. And he even quotes one of the poets, this Paul, talking to these people, and he says, even your poets say, we are his offspring. And he's telling them who you are. See, if we can grasp these two concepts, that God made us in his image and that we are also dependent on him, you will discover a great dignity and a profound humility in that. There is a great dignity and a profound humility of being a human being. God gave Adam four special gifts that made his life wonderfully rich. And they were God's presence, a place, a purpose, and a partner. So we're going to take a look at that. We're moving through Genesis chapter 1 to this particular verse happens to be in chapter 3. But just gives us an idea as to what the relationship was like. But we were made for a relationship. Genesis 3:8 says, now they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden and in the cool of the day. And again, it we'll talk about that a little bit more next week. But there was this relationship that he would do this with them, and they were used to doing this with God. So even though God is spirit, and that means God is invisible to human beings, he reveals himself in the Garden of Eden to Adam and Eve. And we call this a theophany. This is where God, again, makes himself visible to those who are around him. See, God is eternal and invisible, and he wants to establish a relationship with the man and the woman so that they may know him and enjoy him. And I just love this. The creator of the universe was making himself known to his most important creation. And you see it not only in that, but you see it in the spending time with them, getting to know them. Take a look at this. In not only a relationship, that presence of God, but also God made a place for them. So Genesis 2:8 and 10-14 says, the Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed. And part of that is, and this, you know, I cut out some of the parts of it to have it so it would fit up there a little bit better. But it says, now the river flowed out of Eden to water the garden. From there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first is the Pishon, which there was gold, and the gold in that land was good. That's kind of an interesting statement that would be highlighted. There are also other precious stones that were part of that. Then also in verse 13, the name of the second river was Gihon. 14, the name of the third river is the Tigris, and the fourth river is the Euphrates. But God put them in a place specifically for them, specifically where they could meet. Not only that, there was work to be done. In Genesis 2:19, he says, out of the ground, And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every animal and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. Which is, again, God has given people an intellect and an understanding, and he gave them an opportunity to serve. So God gave human beings a purpose. And now, and we'll take a look at Genesis 2:15 as well, just because that helps us with that. But God gave them Adam specifically at this point. He wanted them to manage and care for what he had created. And then if you look at verse 15, Genesis 2:15, it says, the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. So Adam was part gardener, part working with animals, part all kinds of things. He also named all the animals. And if you think about it, we have scientists that love to name things. And here is Adam naming all of these creatures and even plants. And not only that, but he also tells us that work is a good gift from God. And again, just part of what he has for us to be doing as we're here. This last part, this is fun. I was going to have a little bit more fun with this. My wife just told me not to. But because this part of it is definitely different. But it's good. That's why I like to do weddings. This is a good one. In Genesis 2:18, it says, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. So of all the things God had created, there was all of a sudden a problem. That problem was the man was alone. He needed someone to be there with him, a partner to be there with him. And of all of the things God created, none of them was a good or correct partner. Then if you take a look at 22 to 24, then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. So part of it is with Genesis, all of this has to do with beginnings. All of this has to do with firsts. There are firsts. So one of the firsts, so you have first man, first woman, you have a first surgery. If you think about it, you took the rib out of the man and formed the woman from it. So a little bit of a surgery going on. And then also you have the first marriage. And I mean, again, imagine God appears to Adam and he says to Adam, I have someone I want you to meet. I have no doubt that Adam's jaw dropped open. That was the PG version of where we were going with this. But I mean, part of it is, you have to remember, there is no sin. So part of it is, there is nothing wrong with what is happening here. But he seems pretty pleased. That's for sure. He says, at last. He's excited. Finally, there is something that is suitable for me. Think about it. It's not an angel. It's not an animal. It's another human being. Different and yet the same. I think it's kind of neat to think of the first wedding service was conducted by God, an almighty God who ordained this. And that's that idea of taking Eve's hand, because that's part of a wedding ceremony, that transfer of power, if you will. But taking Eve's hand and placing it in Adam's hand and saying, this is the one I made for you. She's yours. And again, I just think that's pretty exciting. So I was going to share something else, but we'll keep moving on. If you think about it, look at verse, if you go back to Genesis 2, 23, the man said, "At last, this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman." So he named her because she was taken out of the man. "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." So it was also not only that, but also starting out of the family. It is the man, a woman, and they become a family. You don't become a family after you have kids. You are a family as a mother or as a husband and wife. And they were joined together and they became one flesh. And they were naked and it was okay. So the Creator gives the first man a place, a purpose, a partner, and together they share the joy of this this visible presence, who is God, who we would say is very likely Jesus, pre him coming to earth. But if you think about it, it was literally heaven on earth. That's pretty cool. That's how it was before there was sin. So one day, just kind of finish up a little bit, but one day Jesus would come into the world. We just celebrated his birth. But one day, I mean, as far as Adam and Eve know, they didn't know when he was coming, what was going to be next. But one day he would come. And through him, the presence of God would be made visible. So if you think about the next episode, unfortunately, we move from paradise to the fall of man, fall of human being, fall of even angels. We'll take a look at angels and we'll take a look at human beings and how they have turned away from God. And if you think about it, and since that time, sin has brought a strain on all aspects of life. And at the top of that is the loss of joy in the presence of God. So that very important relationship has been tarnished. But even then, God will not remain at a distance from his creation. So one day Christ, the Messiah, will come into the world, the Son of God, who walked with Adam in the garden, took the form of a man and was born in human likeness. And when he came, the presence of God was made visible among his creation. He came to heal, to restore, and all that had been spoiled, all that had been broken by sin. And he said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." John 10:10 talks about that. So let me ask you, how are you doing with your walk? I mean, that was kind of quick, but we get to see that when there was no sin, that this was what was important. This relationship was important. See, God wants you and I to know that he is the Creator and therefore has the right of ownership over all things, including us. God also wants us to know that he has made us in his image, and that for that reason, you have a unique dignity and worth. Every single person. The difference between then and now is that we do not see him. We walk by faith and not by sight. And have you thought of your relationship with God like that? Like you're getting to know him, like you're spending time with him, like you're going for a walk with him. Do you pray like that? Do you pray and talk to God like that? That's one of the things when over by where we live, there's a farm that's right there. So I like to take the dogs out. We walk along and it's just kind of nice because nobody's around. So I can talk to God as loud as I want. It's like, and that's, it's kind of nice to be able to walk with him as you're like, you know, telling the dogs, get, you know, keep moving, let's go. But it's neat to be able to do that, to walk with him like that. I'd encourage you to do that. How is your walk with God? So if you would, let's pray, and then Paul will be coming up to close us in a song, and then we'll have our benediction.